rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com to all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
You're listening to the new Spirit FM, Christian hit music.
Hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going home.
Good evening to all listeners. We thank God. It's always a privilege to come your way Saturday evenings. And another one is here. And I'm going to be with you from now till 9 p.m. I'm Eben. And greetings to our listeners online, various places outside the country and outside Kumasi as well. Well, last two weeks, I was talking about prayer, the importance of prayer and why we should be praying. Tonight, I'm talking about it again because the need for it is even becoming more serious. If you, after we go through this evening's news, you'd understand why I'm saying so. And, you know, the world, I keep saying, is not going to get any better. I mean, no politician can make the world a better place. The systems of the world itself has been designed to just get more chaotic. And you would understand after I go through some of the news this evening. You know, so, well, let's get through and we'll get into more discussions afterwards. So we have Ukraine pounds Russia with drones and says it's advancing deeper. That's the headline. So Ukraine pounded Russian regions with missiles and drones on Wednesday, as Kiev said it was advancing deeper into the biggest foreign incursion into Russia for decades, which the White House said posed a real dilemma for President Vladimir Putin. Thousands of Ukrainian troops rammed through the Russian border in the early hours of August 6th into Russia's western Kursk region in what Putin said was a major provocation that was aimed at gaining a stronger hand in possible future ceasefire talks. You know, their war is still ongoing, and with the new movement by Ukraine into Russia, part of Russia and all that, it gives a whole different perspective to this whole thing as to how they can advance beyond this. It's something, well, only time will tell, but clearly eventually people are still going to die anyway. I mean, either way, because so that war, there seems to be no end in sight of that aspect of it. Then we have, interestingly, sometimes some things look like coincidences, but you know, when you know, you follow what these globalists talk about and their actions in previous times and all that, you know that these are not coincidences. So this headline says European vaccination card will be piloted in 5 countries. You know, just when we thought that COVID is over and, you know, this whole COVID stuff was just going to sleep, well, some people are just not over with it. And, you know, interesting times. These people are always seeking for, you know, for when you have some big people making comments to the fact that COVID was a test run, a dry run, and all that, you know, so they use COVID to test the system. So the real pandemics will be coming, the big ones. I mean, COVID was just the door opener, and to see how human beings react to fear, human beings react to vaccination and all these things. That's what they did with COVID. And they are in their own ways. They've been saying it. The globalist people say it in various ways. So when you see some of these things repeating itself, beginning to resurface in various ways, it's not surprising for some of us. So this headline says, European vaccination card will be piloted in 5 countries. So the European vaccination card will enable informed vaccination, according to experts working on the Uvabeco project. So Latvia, Greece, Belgium, Germany and Portugal will pilot the new tool from September. Despite decades of awareness, zoonotic diseases, those transmitted from animals to humans continue to pose a significant threat to global health. In the face of the unprecedented COVID-19 crisis, a global lack of preparedness for such outbreaks became starkly apparent. However, it also sparked a surge of innovation, leading to the rapid deployment of multidisciplinary approaches and new technologies that helped us understand, treat, and protect against the virus, ultimately bringing the crisis under control. These innovations included new medicinal products such as vaccines, as well as advanced tools like those for modeling and forecasting. As Europe transitions from emergency measures to long-term COVID-19 management, there is a critical opportunity to strengthen resilience and increase preparedness for future health threats. The EU, or the European Vaccination Beyond COVID-19, Uvabeco project, seeks to leverage this momentum by initiating pilot projects to develop and test implementation plans for tools that support both routine and crisis vaccination practices. One key tool that Uvabeco will introduce is the European Vaccination Card, scheduled for launch in September 2024. The EVC will initially be piloted in 5 countries: Latvia, Greece, Belgium, Germany and Portugal. The card aims to empower individuals by consolidating all their vaccination data in one easily accessible location. It will be available in various formats, including printed cards, mailed copies, and digital versions for smartphones. It's interesting because this week we heard from the WHO. And okay, let me read Canada's news first before I come to the WHO report. So Canadian government sends a message to Canadians to prepare for a new virus far worse than COVID. And you know, last year I read some of the news that WHO itself has been, you know, virus X, whatever, they don't even know the name of the virus yet, but, you know, preparing, you know, their actions and statements raises a lot of suspicions, you know. But when you say conspiracy theory, and in the last few years, we've seen that conspiracy theories have been right all along, the things that happen in the world. Okay, so the Canadian government has issued advice warning citizens to prepare for a hypothetical new virus that could lead to food and fuel disruptions. The Center for Occupational Health and Safety rolled out a second edition of their Flu and Infectious Disease Outbreaks Business Continuity Plan Handbook. The guide provides information for employers on what to prepare for in the face of another pandemic. In the new edition released in June, they focus on the hypothetical virus that they warn could trigger further disruption than COVID-19. They state that based on trials from past pandemic flu, there may be a higher average number of illnesses and deaths in age groups, different than what we typically see during annual flu seasons. The guide also warns employers must be ready for a scenario like a disease outbreak or a pandemic, which forces people to stay home. Now and then, we've seen it before, lockdowns. It says if there's a pandemic, how many people will be off work? It's impossible to determine with certainty. Estimates vary because no one will know for sure how ill the new virus will make people, how fast it will spread, or how many people will not go to work until it happens. A future pandemic will come in two or three waves, about 3 to 9 months separating each outbreak, it adds. The hypothetical virus could also last in these cycles for as much as 2 years, the report warns. And it goes on and on and on. You know, in the last few months, I mean, there are some websites I monitor, some programs I monitor, and where you have, I mean, doctors who say it as it is. Some have been blacklisted for saying the truth and all that during COVID and all that. And, you know, today I watched one of such reports, and it's interesting and sad at the same time, where you have a report like Portugal being the most vaccinated country in Europe. And then another report also then saying that, you know, they've been calculating excess deaths in various countries. As for Ghana, I don't know whether we are even doing that. So if they do, whether they will even share the report. But in the excess death calculations, Portugal is also having the highest excess deaths in Europe. And the presenter was asking, is there a coincidence? So you sometimes look at the reports, and if you are just applying common sense, you can see something happening. But, you know, in one breath, they will say the same, they will say the truth, and then yet proceed to do something the same way again. So we have this week, the WHO warns that a new mutant strain of monkeypox, which now they say they are calling it mpox. I don't know who they don't want. It's monkeys that they don't want to offend. So they, these people. So monkeypox is now mpox. So a new mutant strain of mpox is an emergency for the entire globe. So on Wednesday, the WHO announced that monkeypox has officially been classified as a public health emergency of international concern. Health officials have lost control of the new mutant strain that is spreading in Africa, and so that is why this move was made. Compared to the strain that caused so much chaos in 2022, this new strain has a much higher death rate, and we are being told that in many cases it is spreading without any sexual contact at all. The head of the committee that determined that a public health emergency of international concern was warranted says that this new strain is an emergency for the entire globe. Committee chair Professor Demi Ogoina said the current upsurge of mpox in parts of Africa, along with the spread of a new sexually transmissible strain of the monkeypox virus, is an emergency not only for Africa but for the entire globe. Mpox, originating in Africa, was neglected there and later caused a global outbreak in 2022. It is time to act decisively to prevent history from repeating itself. Originally, all of the confirmed cases of the Clade 1B strain were limited to the DRC, or Democratic Republic of Congo. In the past month, over 100 laboratory confirmed cases of Clade 1B have been reported in 4 countries neighboring the DRC that have not reported mpox before: Burundi, Kenya, Rwanda, and Uganda. Experts believe the true number of cases to be higher, as a large proportion of clinically compatible cases have not been tested. The strategy of containment has officially failed. At this point, the WHO Director General Tedros Ghebreyesus is openly admitting that the potential for further spread within Africa and beyond is very worrying. And the next day, we had Sweden report first case of deadly mpox strain outside Africa. Okay, there we go. It goes on to say, you have under news headline that says European Center for Disease Prevention and Control raises risk level for mpox. Under headline, China begins screening arrivals for mpox as Pakistan reports first case of deadly virus. So, well, the spreading has started. We just hope and pray it doesn't go beyond and become a bigger issue like the COVID one. But you see, some people have been expecting and looking forward for a pandemic, as to why and how they keep expecting it is something else. But well, they know. But when it comes to these things, people benefit from it, of course. That one is a fact. We can't run away from it. And people have their own agenda and all. So, but when you see this globalist World Economic Forum and all these people, when their leaders, their people, their reps are talking. Recently, I saw one video. One senior medical professor was advocating that we will soon get to a point where they will need the military, like talking of in Europe, that's NATO forces, to help enforce vaccination. And it's like, come on, where? You know, but this is how some see this whole thing. And as to why you would want to get to that point. And this man was so serious that he's addressing, looking at addressing it to WHO, so UN, WHO, where so that the military will enforce, you know. So you see, even this, he was saying it when there was this mpox news had not even come up. But it's like, we want to get there, we want to do this, and they keep. So when you have all these, you know, news flying around, sometimes you just connect the dots and it's like, okay, where are we headed? So that's the world we live in. All right, so we get to the next news. The U.S. Supreme Court stops Biden's Title IX rules allowing boys in girl sports. You know, this is one aspect of this modern world which is like, you ask yourself, so where is common sense when it's needed most? Because it doesn't make sense. You look at what happened at the Olympic Games, this boxing drama that happened, and she is now is taking the case to, you know, this, they have the cyberbullying agency in France, so it's reported Elon Musk, and then this lady who wrote, I've forgotten her name. She is suing them for cyberbullying, and it's like, you know, this whole thing. You see, you look at the person when the person was fighting. You look at some of the videos. You look at the face alone. You can't tell me this is a woman. I mean, his facial expressions alone, his movement, his hand, everything. You see, this is a man claiming to be a woman, and it's like IOC. Is saying that, oh yes, a woman, that's a woman. But the boxing, International Boxing Federation or whatever, still failed her in a test that, this person doesn't qualify as a woman in a female category. And so you ask yourself, what has come over human beings that you see somebody like this claiming I'm a woman, but yet medical tests prove that this is a man, and then you put this man and the woman in the ring that you should fight. What do you expect? So when you won the gold, right from the beginning, it was automatic that this person is headed for gold, because there's no way a woman can beat this person. And this is what this U.S. government has been pushing. You have in the high schools, you see a boy who wants to, you know, U.S., they have this strong, you know, scholarship scheme for sports, so various sports. So it's a very serious, when it comes to sports in the U.S., it's very, very serious. Parents take it serious because you can get a good school scholarship for your high school, college or university, you know. So you have this issue where people now, a boy who thinks if he's to run with his boys, he won't perform anyway. Okay, I'm a girl. So now then, come on. So you see a boy, you see this person is a boy, and yet he's running with girls and then breaking records and winning. And so the U.S. Supreme Court ruled on this. There was a partial case that was taken there, and so they've ruled against it. So the United States Supreme Court has refused to allow the Biden administration's rules requiring Title IX anti-discrimination law to include gender identity and sexual orientation to take effect. The rules would have required schools receiving public funding to allow boys who identify as trans to enter girls' bathrooms, locker rooms, and athletics. Wow, this one. How do you place this under the the lenses of common sense and see it as reasonable. How? You see, and see, these things, it's just about claim, you know. So you wake up Monday morning and you feel like, okay, today I'm a girl. So you can just walk into washroom, bathrooms, so sports locker rooms where they, after sports, they are all changing. Then you have a boy standing in the midst of girls. I mean, come on. You see, the whole thing just flies on the face of normal thinking. So this is the world. This is the world. Recently, I was watching one report where you have women, some women being impregnated in prisons because, oh no, men were putting themselves. And so you ask yourself, so who allowed, you see a man, broad-chested man, bearded and all, but he says, I'm a woman. And then you go and put this person in the woman's prison, woman's cell. What do you expect to happen? Raping the woman in there. I mean, is it so? You realize this world, we've gotten to a level where I think, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, they were jokers. This current world, what we are seeing and what we are hearing, you realize there's something definitely wrong. There's something definitely wrong. All right, and then we have Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey signs a bill stripping mother father from state parentage law. Another one. So a new Massachusetts law overhauls the state's parentage law or laws to use gender neutral language in an attempt to reflect the realities of modern families. What is modern families? Last week, Massachusetts Democrat Governor Maura Healey signed House Bill 4970 into law. The bill, passed unanimously by both houses of the Massachusetts General Court, removes gender-specific language from the state's parentage laws in an effort to accommodate children born to same-sex couples, unmarried or trans-identified parents, and children born as a result of procedures such as in vitro fertilization or surrogacy. So it's slated to go into effect January 1st, 2025. The phrase "a man and a woman" is replaced with "persons." Okay, my idea. And the law is amended so that the word "there," that's T-H-E-I-R, is used instead of "his." So the law will allow scrap references to the term mother instead of using the phrase "person who gave birth to the child." The term father also finds itself on the chopping block. The words "other parents" are now used in this place. Mother and father issues, you know. So now you have father giving birth to a child, whichever means, and then mother. Oh no. Okay, so to the UK, and we finish with this one. You have Justin Welby, that is the head of the Anglican Church of England. So Justin Welby rebuked over actions in case of chaplain deemed terror threats for questioning LGBT ideology. Oh, come on. So we have the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, is being criticized for his handling of a case involving Bernard Randall, a chaplain blacklisted for a sermon questioning LGBT teachings at a Christian school. You heard me right. A chaplain blacklisted for a sermon questioning LGBT teachings at, underline, a Christian school. So a leading legal figure within the Church of England described Welby's refusal to address the concerns as plainly wrong. Randall, 52, previously a chaplain at Trent College in Nottingham, was barred from preaching for 5 years following a 2019 sermon in which he encouraged students to debate LGBT teachings after they asked for his guidance on the issue. Despite being cleared by multiple secular bodies, this is the amazing part. Secular bodies, so government institutions, secular bodies without any spirit in it. They have even seen wisdom in what the man was saying and what was doing. Randall's license to preach was withheld by the Bishop of Derby, Libby Lane, citing safeguarding concerns. So the decision remains in effect, even though Randall was found not to have violated Church of England doctrine. I mean, look at the absurdity here. Government institutions, which are not spiritual, have not seen any offense committed by this chaplain. And rather, the spiritual institution is the one holding on to... you read some of these things, you see the news and you wonder. So, some of these institutions, they don't even qualify to be called churches. I mean, come on. And not that he committed a crime. Not that, the chaplain has, done something to students and all that, abuse, whatever. No. What he did as a chaplain, what's wrong with it? By saying, the issue should be debated. Students ask his opinion, and he says the issue should be debated. But in the eyes of the church, which even is not in their rules anyway, at the time this happened, they are offended that a chaplain of a Christian school should even say something like that against LGBT indoctrination in the school. Welcome to the new world that we live in. And you know, this world, clearly, if you see some of these things and hear some of these things, know that I just can't imagine how things will be in the next few years. The way we are going at this pace and at the rate at which the decline is happening in the world, it's very, very unfortunate, and it's very worrying, because you see that now. I'm not surprised, because you see, all these things are, of course, spiritual things that are unfolding. But the worrying part is, it's going to get worse. And this is where Christians have to understand the seriousness of these things and not allow ourselves to be caught in the trap of lukewarmness, to be caught in the trap of compromising. Because as soon as we get to that point where we lose our discernment, we start becoming soft, as is happening in some of the Western countries. Churches are beginning to, change their stance on LGBT. They are beginning to be soft, let's allow it. And, you have all these things happening in the pulpits and all. Then you realize, see, when the church sleeps, this is what happens. And we really have to wake up as believers. In Ghana, we shouldn't sleep, because, you see, we find ourselves at a point where, these issues are playing, in the political arena, from parliament, somebody takes it to court and blah, 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 all these things, the president will not sign, and because it's in court, so it's like this game is being played. But you see, when you understand how these people operate, what I mean is the LGBT, the powers that be, their financiers and their proposers and all that, they really wield a lot of control and power with money. So, for instance, in Honorable St. George, their primaries in the Ningopam-Pram area, they really spent money to try and cause him to lose the primaries. They voted a lot of money to campaign against him, to support another candidate at the NDC primaries. Someone made an analysis some time back, and I agree with that person, because he said if we are not careful, one day we wake up as a country, the way monetization is or has taken over our body politic. If, let's say, example, the LGBT group, the powers that be in the world say, okay, they want to vote $10 billion to change Ghana, they can achieve it. Because we've gotten to the point where in our politics, it's only money that wins now. So if they say they are bringing $10 billion, example, voting that into this country at all our primaries, NDC, MPP levels. With Ghana, that time they said if you have 1 million, you can win your primaries. So imagine if huge monies are voted into primaries in various constituencies. And then they are sponsoring people. So we are sponsoring you. Okay, we are giving you $10 million. We are sponsoring you so that you get into parliament. Once they get there, they can, with money, they can get their people to be the majority. Either way, either parties. And then you can know what happens. They can enact laws they can influence decisions. You see, so we are just a step from these things, and it's only prayer we can pray to. Because you see, when they really want to push and press the button well, with money they can achieve it. With the way our country has become now, and the way money is running the show in our political arena, if they say they are putting money into it, they will influence and they will do things. So it's a worrying thing that this country, we really have to pray. We really, really have to pray. Anyway, so we are talking about prayer, but I'll be taking a little break and we'll come back after this song.
Bye. Mr. Johnson, welcome to Judgment. Have a seat while I examine your life.
Sure. Does it say anything in there about me believing in God?
Yes, it does say you believed in the existence of a God.
Oh, good. I hear that's real important.
Well, I've seen enough. If you could have a seat with that group over there, you'll be taken to your destination.
Over there? Oh, okay.
Next!
Excuse me?
Yes?
Is that Satan in my group?
Yes, it is. Next!
Wait a minute. You're putting me in the same group with Satan?
According to your records, you never trusted your life to God.
Hold on. I believed in God.
So did Satan, Mr. Johnson. He didn't put his faith in God either.
What do you mean, put my faith in God?
It is not enough to believe in the existence of a God or a cosmic force or deity. Mr. Johnson, you were sinful, and God was willing to forgive you through his son Jesus. Problem is, you never asked for or accepted his forgiveness. Next.
Another message from Lifeline Productions, located on the web at lifelinepro.com.
In Satan's group, trouble has come. Okay, all right. So welcome back to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM Kumasi. I'm Eben, and we have some 23 minutes to go to 9. All right, so we're talking about prayer, the need to pray for the nation, pray for ourselves, pray for the family. You know, there are a number of prophets I have seen, correct ones, of course, and they are saying very similar things, not some in Ghana, some outside. And the emphasis on prayer is very, very strong in their messages from the Lord, that believers have to pray because the devil has stepped up his game. Seriously. And, you know, the game has been stepped up in various ways. At the national levels, that's why I was talking about praying for this nation and for our nation's, the need for our nation's prayer. If you're a spirit-filled Christian, I mean, you should understand why there's a greater need to pray for this nation than any other previous elections. I mean, it's obvious. If you are spiritually aligned to the Holy Spirit, you would understand why I'm saying so. You don't need any prophet to give you any further details. It's very obvious if you have the Holy Spirit in you. So I'm amazed when okay, I don't want to say what, but you see, when you hear some Christians and what some pastors say, it's sad because you realize something is amiss somewhere. But you and I, we have a duty to pray for this nation. We have a duty. You know, let me read something from Daniel so that people can understand. Those who don't understand the importance well can understand and appreciate it. Daniel 10, 12 to 13. Then said he unto me, that's the angel, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before the Lord and thy God, that was he was fasting, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. So, of course, this prince of Persia being referred to, prince of the kingdom of Persia, is not the physical human rulership being talked about here. We are talking of the prince, the powers in the heavens. Every nation has powers assigned. Demonic powers. Ghana, there are forces, in charge of Ghana, assigned to Ghana. Likewise, there are angels, assigned to the country, cities. Last week I was talking about it. And these are indeed, it's spiritually, that's what it is. And there are people who have encountered some of these powers in terms of the spiritual realms and all. But then you see, there is a reason why we must pray, because if prayer is not made, we cannot empower the angels assigned to a nation, assigned to a city or a town or a community and all that. The Christians in that, see, so there's a reason. Last week I read 2 Corinthians 7, 13, 14. If my people which are called by my name and humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And see, in the case of a nation, God is not expecting the whole nation to come and pray, the sinners and all to come and pray. No, he's expecting his people.
in the land. We are his ambassadors, so we should stand up and do the needful. And that is what God is expecting. God is not expecting everybody in the country, the sinners and everybody unsaved, everybody to come and pray. That's not what God is expecting. Per this verse, he says, if my people... So, you see, the duty, the burden falls on the people of God, the Christians in this case. It is our responsibility, the state, the nation's spiritual state, reflecting in the physical state and everything. It depends on us. You see, so we who claim to be God's people, we cannot be silent when we should be praying. And you see, the worrying thing is, if we keep silent, God is limited in doing what he has to do. If God could just do things straight away without we needing or the need for us to pray, he would not say he's not going to require us to pray. I mean, he will just do what he has to do. But he does things through his people on earth. You see, there are spiritual principles. God just doesn't do things. He needs people to do it. That's why we need to pray for things before he intervenes. Because it's like the devil will accuse God that you are violating spiritual principles. So that's why Jesus even had to come through a human being to be born. He could have just dropped from the skies, boom, from heaven, straight human being. Like, you know, like if you watch this old movie Terminator 1, 2 and all that, where Schwarzenegger just drops from the skies, cyborg type of thing, just drop from. Jesus could have just dropped from the skies, but he had to come through a human being because that's the protocol of human, the spiritual realm, there's a protocol, so he had to follow it. So you see, that's why prayer is important. We cannot shirk our responsibility in prayer and just say that, oh, God will do it. So you see, when you talk about someone, you have some believer, oh, we'll be shocked. If Christians remain quiet and silent, God can only look on. God will react when we act. And this is how, and this is why it's important we take the praying for the nation very, very serious. We should see it as more of like it's our duty. And it is actually. It's the duty of the believers. It is our responsibility to pray. So if we keep silent, it goes against us. And you know, one other thing why we should pray is because there's a lot of demonic activity in the world. A lot of demonic activity has been activated, and prayer is one way we can secure ourselves, secure our families, secure our businesses, whatever. We have to pray because the devil is not joking, but it seems the church is joking, unfortunately. It's a fact. Of course, not all churches, but I'm talking generally, like the body of Christ, as it were. It seems the church is sleeping. It seems so. Largely because, you see, when the devil is making moves, it's now that you see the church trying to catch up. We should have been playing like more of, we played the role of, attack and defense together. But we wait for the devil to strike before we now try to defend. And so, you see, it seems sometimes that you are fighting from a losing position. When you do that, you seem to be fighting from a losing, because it's like you are asleep, the enemy has entered your room before you wake up, and it's like, hey, so now you are now looking for your weapons to fight when the enemy has already walked in your room whilst you are asleep. He has an advantage over you. That's why we cannot be in a sleepy position spiritually as individuals and as church and all that. We must be on the offensive and be watchful and to prayer. Unfortunately, when you talk about these things, as if, we are tired type of thing. Someone listening to me, you'll be laughing when I said we are tired, because someone sent me a message this week about this issue and this tiredness thing. And, you know, people are saying they are tired, spiritually tired. So it's like, chale, munja and yenda type of. But this is not a time when you should be sleeping. No. When we are getting to the real end time itself, getting deeper into the end times, this is not when we should be sleeping. As especially, we've been warned. You know, this part of scripture, you know, you rarely hear it, but let me, for the sake of what I'm saying, let me just go there and read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Yeah, okay, so 2 Thessalonians 2, I'm reading 1, 2, 3. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. This is clearly the rapture he's talking about. You know, making reference to the first Thessalonians, the letter he wrote regarding the rapture. So there's a follow-up. Then verse 2. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter. In this case, the first Thessalonians letter. As that day of Christ is at hand, that the rapture is at hand. But then the third is where the emphasis is. And this verse, I mean, you really, really, really hear it being talked about, because it goes against, you know, certain belief by a larger part of Christianity. Let no man deceive you. And deception is clear. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, which day? The rapture, shall not come except there come a falling away first. And this is where the danger is. There's going to be a falling away first. Before Christ comes, there's going to be a falling away. And that man of sin be revealed, the man or the son of perdition. Before Christ, before the rapture, there's going to be a falling away. So you see, we've entered a season where if you joke, you fall away. Already Jesus has given an advance notice that the love of many will grow cold. If you read Matthew 24, it's part of the things he warned about. So if the love of many will grow cold, and Paul also warns here that there's going to be a falling away, then it means that when we get to the season before Christ comes, it will not be a time or a period that you joke with your spirituality, you joke with your prayer life. Because if you joke, you get cold, your love will grow cold, and you can easily fall away. You see, so when you find yourself in such a dangerous position where if you lose your guard, you fall away, or your love will grow cold and whatever, it means you should be very alert spiritually and very active. This is not the time to be going on sabbatical leave as a believer. Let me take a little leave of absence and, you know, just chill out a little, relax a bit with your breath type of thing. Let's rest a little. No. I mean, it's very dangerous to get into that mode now. Oh, yes. Very, very dangerous. Because the enemy knows the time is. Just as I was about to start, listener sent me a message, I think. What is it? Yeah, Evans. Let me just read it. He says, Satanists are doing evangelism. Tampa, Florida, Fetish Con 2024. Satan knows his time is short, and he is working around the clock to get as much people as to hell as possible. He is doing evangelism for many to enter into false churches, into witchcraft, occultism, and anything that will lead them into eternal damnation. Wake up, church. And you see them holding, someone holding the tracts. You know, if we will not share tracts, Satanists will share their tracts. Oh yeah, this is the season we are in, you know, previously Satanism was some secret dark thing, so, but now people boldly declare I'm a Satanist, which is in the US and Europe and all. Now people online, they affirm openly without any shame, we are witches, I'm a witch. I mean, they are not ashamed about it again. But years back, like witches, thought witches are some old women be, and now you have young, beautiful girls openly declaring it and saying that we are witches, I'm witch and all that. They don't care. They don't fear. And they are proud about it. You know, so the season is completely different now. We are in a very serious season in which we cannot joke with these important things. And prayer is the backbone we can hold on to. Because in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the evil, in the midst of the confusion, that is what can deliver us, and that is what we have to hold on to. You know, the importance of prayer, you know, for those on my broadcast list, we shared we discuss it for some number of times or days, a number of period, prayer and all that. But for the sake of the listeners and, you know, those who are not on my list, you know, I talked of three instances where we had, or I shared, not talked, yeah, of three testimonies of people who responded to the call to pray, the need to pray, and what it did. In one instance, this pastor was praying deep, like, got into the night, was tired, wanted to sleep, but felt the need to continue, the prompting from the Spirit to continue praying. So he was praying in tongues, praying in tongues. And then soon after, had a call from his brother that armed robbers just left the house. And they were actually deliberating to kill him or not to kill him. And it was the same time that he was praying, he had the prompt to pray. That was when they were deliberating to shoot or not to shoot, to the point where one got angry and then they walked away. So had this pastor not prayed and gone to sleep, he would have woken up with a call that your brother has been killed by armed robbers. You see, so this is why you realize that. So in this case, then someone will say, so why didn't God save the situation? The saving of the situation was the prompting through the Spirit that pray. Somebody should pray. So the message was to the brother, pray for. I mean, he didn't know why he was praying, but he was just praying in tongues. You see, that's one advantage we have praying in tongues, that sometimes people think tongues is just some joke or whatever. It's a serious spiritual weapon and spiritual advantage that some think, oh, it's just some noise. No. So that's one case. The second one was a woman who was in the kitchen cooking and just also felt the need. Let me pray. So started praying in tongues. Later, the son writes from the war zone, and then, oh, a miracle God did for him and all that, saving him from an ambushment on their unit. And it was the date and the time was exactly when the mother was praying in the kitchen, felt like praying in the kitchen, and responded to that call to pray. That is what saved the son from the ambush. And then the third was a pastor who was preaching, and then had a prompt that, no, some pray for your son. He didn't even know the son had traveled. So he started praying and then told the congregation, let's all pray. So he stopped the preaching. And this thing, when I think about it, I realize, see, this pastor was very matured. Because, you see, we have an instance where we have a lot of men of God who love preaching than doing any other. It's like obeying, they rather preach than obey the word of God. Obey the voice of God. So he stopped the preaching and he said they should pray. The whole church. So they prayed. He didn't know what he was praying for, but let's pray for the son. He didn't know the son had traveled to a village in China for a trip with his students and all that. Apparently, the son got into a medical emergency in the remote place. There was no, hospital that could cater for the thing, emergency and all that. Strangely, the leading expert surgeon in that field in China happened to be traveling to that place, that village, at that same time. And this man in this house, or whichever place he was abiding, had two men well-dressed in suit, like a government official type of dress, well, properly dressed, come to him that emergency, should go to the clinic, and then there's an important person there to go and operate on. So he gets to the hospital or the clinic. They are all surprised as to where from this sudden, because he's the leading expert in that field, and he comes in to perform the surgery to save a life. It's only God who can do this. But you see, the response to prayer is what brought these testimonies for these people, and there are countless more people who are traveling. They just feel like praying, and then, you know, a lot of deliverances come through prayer. You see, so when God says his children should start being very attentive to prayer and more interested in praying because we are in evil days, it is important we act on it and become very proactive. We shouldn't downplay the promptings of prayer, because you don't know who it is for. It may be for yourself. It may be for your relative somewhere, your child, a friend. You don't know. You see, so that's why we shouldn't be procrastinating the calls for prayer in these times. It's very dangerous. We should be reactive. As soon as the prompt comes, you don't know why, but you pray. So if you speak in tongues, then you have an advantage. You don't know why what you are praying for, but you just pray. And you realize you may or may not hear the outcome of it, but you are solving something. You see, so that's why we need to be more serious about prayer now, because in praying for our nation, praying for our families, praying for ourselves, praying for our pastors and all that, we need to be on guard now, because the devil is not joking. No, the enemy is not joking. He knows his time is short. So if we think he's joking, so we'll also take a leave, we'll be deceived, because he has stepped up his game and he needs his people to be in charge of things. He needs his people to be in charge of countries. He needs his people to be in charge of institutions. So he is using every means possible to get his controls in place. And that's why if we go quiet and we don't resist, you see, the Bible is clear. If we resist him, but if we don't resist him, then he takes his advantage and then he does what he wants to do. So you see, back to last week's statement I made, that whatever state a nation is in, whatever state a community is in, it is the fault of the believers. If it is a positive one, the fault of the believers. If it is a negative one, it's the fault of the believers. Because our silence is not just silent in the spiritual, it's silent in the spiritual realm, it reverberates into the physical realm, and it's what we see physically. If we are to go on our knees to pray for our nation, pray for our churches, pray for our pastors, pray for our communities, there will be a change. There will be a change. But see, the art of intercession itself, we are not interceding. It's all about give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. So our prayers, you see, there are a lot of people who are really praying. Some are really praying, but what are we praying about? Self, self, self. Myself, me, 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 my family, me, me, me. Give, 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 give. You see, we need to be led in prayer. We should allow the Holy Spirit to guide us in prayer. What must we pray about? You see, we should... you can pray and pray and pray for yourself throughout. But, is it pleasing to God? Ask yourself. If any time you come to pray to God, it's all about yourself, yourself, yourself. Whereas he's also giving you prayer points, assignments. Pray for your nation. Pray for your leaders. Pray for your pastors. These are also responsibilities for us as believers. So if we check our spiritual responsibilities and we think we will be selfish and pray for only ourselves, we cannot be pleasing God. He cannot be happy with us. We should understand the roles that we play as believers, that we have a greater role as believers than we've ever expected or thought. Perhaps you are not aware, but this evening, if you've listened to this discussion or this talk, I believe you've been encouraged to be more serious with your prayer life, because the times are not ordinary that we can just sleep and sleep and sleep as believers. We have to wake up and arise unto prayer. And I believe as we do what we have to do, obey the promptings of the Spirit, it will be to our own advantage and we'll see the benefits. There are countless testimonies of people who responded to prayer at the times when they should pray. They didn't feel like praying, but let me just pray. The prompting was very strong. The urge was strong. They obeyed, they prayed, and God did what he had to do. So it has to be something that would be responsive. As soon as when we have the prompt to pray, let's pray. When we feel like praying, let's pray. Thank you for listening to this messages. Doesn't come early, so sorry for those sent. Okay, so thank you for listening, and we have one listener from Israel, Elijah. Greetings to you. Okay, so good night and God bless you.
Great content, rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com. To all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.